Hi everyone!
How's everyone going? We have Eurovision just round the corner, and as promised last time, we have a very special guest featuring in today's episode. Her name is Laura, and you might know her as Slavandić on Instagram and YouTube. So here is the interview that she gave us just yesterday.
Hope you like it. Welcome to the Eurovision Files. Hi everyone! So we are the Eurovision Files here, and today we have a very, very special guest. It's Laura, who you might recognize from Instagram and YouTube reaction videos. Slavandić.
Hi.
So we have a few questions for Laura because she kindly agreed to do some of the interview for the podcast with us. So we can start from the very, very basics.
I'm prepared.
Tell us a little bit about your own Eurovision journey. When did you start with Eurovision, with your reactions, with your social media?
To be fair, I was trying to be an influencer for God knows how long and it just failed. So I was actually at university, I was actually in like PR and events, and that's when my social media started to grow. I've always really been a fan of Eurovision, probably since the womb, if I'm completely honest with you. But from what I can remember, it was in 2001 when Estonia won with David Benton. And obviously Sisi, his daughter, done Estilau many, many moons later. But yeah, that started then. I'd been watching it every year since. Obviously, being a kid, your mum goes, go to bed. No, I would never go to bed. I'll actually watch it to the end and try not to fall asleep. And then lockdown, say 2021, I actually used to do YouTube about my life in Prague, so I used to live in Prague. And then I come back, obviously because of COVID, I tried to be the typical YouTuber with makeup and clothing. Well, that flopped. So I was like, well, I want to get back into it. I'm working a day job from home. You know, I used to be a performer. I had to retire due to injury. So I'm missing something. And I was like, well, wait, I like Eurovision, so I'm kind of scared to get back on camera. But I've always had that very theatrical personality. So I took the plunge and I'd done Lithuania 2021 with a Roop and with my dog literally on my lap. And I was so nervous, but yeah, I just haven't looked back since because I uploaded that and within an hour, it was just like 10k views. I was like, right, okay, I broke the Lithuanian market. Let's go. But ever since then, I've just seen my social media grow. All completely natural, because I know some people buy theirs. But we won't get into that. But yeah, I've just seen it grow and connections made and friends you make, you know, whilst you're on this journey. So here I am now, nearly 4 years later, and I've never, ever, ever expected to get this far at all. Yeah. You know, I'm just a girl from London that works. You know what I mean? And I did it as a hobby, and hopefully a second career, if all goes well. So, yeah, a bit of a journey, a bit of a whirlwind journey.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I like that you say you are very natural with your reactions. You have no filter. I think people really like it.
Yeah.
With all this social media and influencer, they try to make a post, but I don't think you have that.
No, I mean, growing up, I was always told I was very unhinged, but I've always brought up to be my true self. And I think you'll find in most of my posts and most of what I do, I cannot be fake. What you see is what you get, whether it's on camera or off camera. I can't be any different, and if I am any different, you know there's a problem, or I'm just biting my tongue. But it's very rare. But I I can't be any different to what I am. It genuinely makes me feel uncomfortable. So yeah, I've just got this natural presence. I think being in musical theatre and being on stage for many, many years, and obviously retiring, gave me that extra confidence boost.
Yeah.
You know, being on a Western stage at a young age, you do need to toughen up and you do need to take these things with, I guess you could say, a pinch of salt, because it's a very critical industry, and I find Eurovision very similar in ways. So that's why when I delve into things, I see it from a performance approach, not what everyone else would see.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. But yeah, I can't be fake. I genuinely, I can't do it. It makes me gag. It actually makes me gag. I can't do it. That's all.
But that's a gift. I mean, thank you. That's what we need.
Thanks, Mum. Thanks, Mum. Bless me. She's going to kill me for saying that, but thank you.
Another basic question. Favourite Eurovision entry of all times?
Oh, God. I mean, I love Lorien, but I can't say that because that's stereotypical. The one that's probably stuck with me the most... Nia Lubavstva from Serbia in 2012, and that was a good year. Yeah, that's probably one that stuck with me. Or Molitva in 2008. I love the fact that Balkan. I'm sure I'm Balkan somewhere. But yeah,
I was rewatching all this mid 2000 Eurovision last week.
And oh,
Molitva
God.
Was amazing.
Molitva, Jan Bonomo, Moja Stikla, Tina Carroll, my absolute woman. They were probably some of the best years. And I think you'll find with this year, if you was to compare, they're slowly trying to bring that 2000 Eurovision back.
Yeah.
And you could sort of get that vibe from that, whereas last year was so diverse. So it's nice to sort of see that era come back a little bit with what we've got.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well put. You've been very vocal about not reacting to some of the entries this year because you've received some threats.
Yes.
So the EBU official statement is that the
beloved statement.
They released a statement like an hour ago. They claim that it's not political and we all want the event not to be political. But what are your thoughts about this?
Stop lying. Who paid you? Oh, I can't say that. Anyway, a lot of us reactors have stood by what we've said. We're not going to react to something we feel is wrong. Now, that's nothing against Israeli people at all. It's against what obviously is going on currently. There's no way, you know, we can't run from it. We can't hide from it. We take a stand against that. We don't hate Israeli people. We don't. At the end of the day, you are human. But don't come for people saying death threats, that you want to beat me up, that you're going to cut my stomach open, you're going to do this, this and this. And it's like, well, okay, do I need to go to Malmo with one eye open? Because it then portrays you as something, you know, it shouldn't be. And I don't stand with genocide. I don't stand with ethnic cleansing. I don't stand with war. I'm going to stick by that. And I'm one of these people that if I stick by something, I will until the end. And that's what you'll find this year, that a lot of reactors have done that. And I mean, I know people that have reacted to Israel and they've messaged me and gone, Laura, well, do you hate me? You know, I'm losing a lot of friends because of this. I don't hate you, but just know that I won't react to it because I stand my ground and I'm not going to react to something or someone that is part of something that is killing thousands and ruining lives. But you could say that for Ukraine and Russia, you could say that for other wars in the world. But when it's within Eurovision and it's genuinely making people feel uncomfortable, you need to see something for what it is, and you can't have the wall or be rose-tinted eyes for something that is genuinely in front of you. So I've said from the start, and I actually said before reacting last year, I will not react to Israel and I will not react to Azerbaijan ever again. And I will stay by that. And if I do react to it, someone's fucking paid me millions. So if a sugar daddy's come along and I react to it, you know I got money. Other than that, no.
So that's going to stay like that forever?
Yep. For as long as I live, that will stay.
Okay. Yeah. And are you somewhat scared about all these threats that you receive?
Half the time they're keyboard warriors. I mean, I get hate near enough all the time. I've had hate from the age of, say, the teenage years, from doing stuff, all this stuff online and developing myself as a person of who I am now. And I mean, this is by far the worst I've had. I mean, the death threats from Italians in 2021 wasn't as bad as this. This is the worst that I've actually had. I reacted to Mourner Skin in 2021.
And you received death threats?
Yeah, because of the eyes. Anything to do with the eyes that move when they pull it apart makes you feel a bit sick. And I said that. I was like, oh, no, I don't like it. They're moving their eyes. And obviously Italians took it the wrong way. But I actually did like that song in the end. So, yeah, but that it wasn't as bad as what I've got this year. Are we or am I genuinely quite concerned. Yeah, I am concerned. I want to know if we're going to have security or armed forces potentially could be involved, because Myanmar, you never know what's going to happen. Myanmar is a place where every day is different. Every day is different. Every story is different in Myanmar. And it's a very beautiful place. But when you're going to have to be potentially looking over your shoulder, not knowing what might come your way, fingers crossed it doesn't, it is genuinely concerned. And I mean, it's not just me that's concerned. There are plenty of other people within the content creation of Eurovision that are either boycotting, they're not going, or they're actually going to be looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It is sad because it's taking the love away from what we all love, what we, you know, what we see and what we actually adore and what we grew up with. So yeah, I am concerned, but I'm just remaining hopeful for now.
Yeah. We've been talking about this a lot in our podcast, about security and how they are going to provide that, because a lot of threats, a lot of them, and every day they're growing more and more.
Yeah.
So it's a concern that the EVU and also SVT, they need to take care of seriously.
Yeah.
Because we've been seeing a lot of protests all the time. Every year there are protests outside the arena. But this year is going to be
bigger. I was pressed for Barcelona pre-party, and there was a protest outside there. Luckily, they got disbanded. From what I saw, they may have come back, but I was in the arena. From what I saw at the time, they were disbanded, and they had actually moved on. And it's the same with, I think in Madrid, there was something similar, and they quickly just moved along. So hopefully, you know, I mean, London had it yesterday. They'll hand that leaflet for a certain artist that shouldn't have actually got all of that hate, and it's not his fault. And I stand by Ollie Alexander. I think he's a lovely artist and a lovely person. Just a very sweet individual. And it shouldn't be happening. You know, but these things will happen. These things are what people take stance for, and I don't blame them. In fact, you know, if you want to go and do that, go and do that, but just don't get in people's faces to make them feel uncomfortable. Do it within reason. And if you are going to protest, the real people you need to go to are actually in Switzerland, Geneva, and they're called the EBU. So you know, you need to go and do that to them and not to the artists or the people that want to go and enjoy themselves.
I agree, because sometimes it's not even the artist's decision to sign like a statement or anything.
With the artists, they have to, from what I know, from what we've been talking about within Eurovision T and other content creators I'm very close friends with, they have to, you know, have to wait for it to be approved for them to actually put a statement out. So you know, they may be waiting for ages, and they've got people going, why are you not putting the statement out? Why are you not doing this? That's not on the artist. That's on what's around them. They are human at the end of the day. They will feel emotion. Don't go for them when, you know, they could agree with you. They could be free this and slaver this, but they can't say it because they're within reason, because if they have to go through that process. It's not on them. It's on what's around them. So, you know, it is uncomfortable, but these things happen, and that's the world of show business sometimes. You have to go through these things to try and work out what's right and what's wrong, and then it just defines who you are within a simple factor. So
And during Eurovision, it's all about delegations. They have the power over the artists.
Exactly.
And we've seen that so many times over the years. So
I mean, there's only so much you can say and so much you can do within, you know, within these situations. But you know, as long as everything goes smoothly, the artist tries to have a nice time, we have a nice time, you know, at the end of the day, all you've got is each other. And when you're there in Malmö, whether you're there, you know, if it was in Liverpool, for example, you've got each other, and you try and make do with what you've got. Yes, it's going on around you, but if you've got the right people around you, you'll make it fun and you'll have a nice time. If there are any problems, let them be dealt with within a, you know, a secure manner, and don't, you know, condone anything that was like violent or anything like that. You know, it's wrong. So yeah, it's a very tricky situation. So there's, I'm off the nice with things I say. So yeah, I have to say things within reason, but no, there's not really much you can do.
So moving on from this, a little bit. So imagine you can craft your own perfect Eurovision song and act from scratch.
Oh God.
You can decide whether it's a group, a solo, a duo. They can sing in English, they can sing in the national language, a pop song, a ballad, something folky. Do they have dancers?
Okay.
Or are they doing it on their own?
Well, this is right up my street, because I used to be a professional dancer. So I'd probably go for a Balkan or a Baltic.
Mm-hmm.
So they come from either Slovenia, Serbia, and if it's Baltic, they'd probably come from Lithuania. Labas Lietuva. Yeah, they'd probably be on their own, have loads of dances, be really upbeat, it'd be slick, charismatic, they'd be themselves. All the lights in the universe with pyro, and I would pay for water. And if they don't come top 10 or at least top 15, I will riot.
Literally, I will riot.
So calling all the delegations in the Balkans.
And the Balkans. If you want me to work with you and not be a bitch, call me.
Again, coming back to a little bit of controversy, is there any past controversy that you think was overstated or something that went under the radar that you think it could be like more publicly debated? And we're not talking just about politics here.
No. To be honest, so much goes on and so much kind of gets missed. It's not until you actually rewatch some shows a few years later that you think, well, shit, that should have actually been dealt with. But it's a very tricky thing to actually talk about, you know, or actually answer, because once you're in that moment, you don't realise these things.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused on what's going on around you and living in the moment, you don't actually know. It's not until after you go, ah, shit. But yeah, I can't really comment because some of the things have been dealt with, some of them forever will be conflicted. It just depends on what goes on in the moment of time.
Yeah. Is there any specific year that you're thinking about? You don't have to mention what happened, but
I was gonna say a specific year, then I would have got shot. Oh fuck it, I'll just say it. 2019. That's not because of where it was at all. I just feel like there were some things behind closed doors that should have been brushed under the carpet.
Okay.
That came out in certain performances. And certain artists need to learn how to behave very professionally, but I won't go into that. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion.
We can all guess what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And moving on to this year, Eurovision 2024. Can you share some thoughts, predictions, what's going to happen?
Oh, no.
Which
one
is your favorite?
My top three are Serbia, Slovenia, and Lithuania, with Norway coming in close fourth, and then France at number five.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a vast, vast mixture this year, but it's just so tough to choose a winner, because you could look at Estonia, that's a winner, look at Norway, that's a winner, Sylvester Belt, that's a winner. You just don't know, you really don't know until you see them on stage. And a lot of these songs are live songs, they're not studio songs. So it's more like, well, you could say, for example, Germany. I'm saying that with a massive pinch of salt, but Germany one day, but then you could say Denmark the next. So, you know, all these things just tally up. But yeah, I think Norway have got a good chance as underdogs to win. They have. Sylvester Belt has, and I told him that. He knows it. Stevi Milo. Serbia could be a ballad underdog big time. And I think Slovenia too. I do. Armenia could take the shock. I do. I really
is
really
a dark horse of this year?
Dark horse. By far. Or Greece.
I love Greece.
Greece, yeah.
the sad thing about Greece is that we won't get to see her in any party.
No, I know, it's a shame. I mean, they did, well, kind of, they did in the Greece one, they actually had the Eurovision Fund. Apostolis, Andreas Spiros, they actually, from Eurovision Fund, had their own pre-party this year.
Yeah.
In Thessaloniki. So that was completely sold out like that. So if they do it again next year, go. Thank me later, guys. Yeah, so they done that. I think she was partially there, but you had Celia from Cyprus.
Yeah.
But Celia just about done a couple this year. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I'd love to have seen her. But if she wins, thank you very much for the discount on the hotel. I expect that in the mail. And I expect loads of rakia, feta, and just fun.
So you mentioned all sorts of different names or countries, but none of the favorites, the odds favorites, the fans favorites. You're keeping yourself away from those, right?
No, I love Daddy Sliman. I do. I love that man has got me in a chokehold. Just the way he sings, the way he portrays his emotions. He doesn't need anyone. he's a man of his own world and a man of his own artistry. If he has someone behind him, then I just think it takes away from what he has. I mean, he's gone around every pre-party singing the song in their own language. I mean, in Barcelona, he sang it in Spanish. In, you know, London, yes, so he sang it in English. Is he going to sing it in Dutch this week? Stay tuned to find out. Yeah, I really love that man. That man's voice, just, I don't know what he does to me, but you know when it's a genuine artist. It's like Joker out last year.
Yeah.
You could tell they were genuine artists because they sang for what they truly believed in.
Yeah.
And you can tell with his song. The French are very passionate anyway, you should know. I'm called French. We're very passionate anyway, and we stand by what we believe in, and that's exactly what he does when he's singing. That man could take me on a date with a rose in his mouth and I'd still declare marriage. Honestly, I love him.
It's a very touchy song.
Very, 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 very. So yeah, I love him.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I think they're very different from mine. But I love Sylvester Belts.
Oh yeah, that's
in my top at the moment.
The love of my life. I'm joking.
But yeah, thank you for sharing your thoughts.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you for agreeing to do this.
You're more than welcome. I literally work 20 minutes away from here, so it's nice and easy for me to get to, so it's all good.
Hopefully we'll have you another time. After Eurovision, maybe?
You will. I've got press this year, so stay tuned for the tea.
Eurovision too.
We've been kind of busy this last weekend as well. We've been attended to some concerts Eurovision related. We've seen Kano, Mahmoud, also Joker Out. It's happening tomorrow. And this Saturday, we'll be attending the Amsterdam pre-party as press. So please stay tuned. Go to our Instagram account, the Eurovision Files, to access all content. And of course, remember to subscribe to Apple Podcast, Spotify, and go again to our social media accounts for more content.
Remember, you can subscribe to Apple Podcast, Spotify, leave a 5-star review, and check out our Instagram account.